Good afternoon again. Good to be back together. Thank you for the special music. I was thinking logistically, when there's special music, it might be easier for those not in the choir to come up. And then everybody is at your sing from your tables. So that's I think that would be easier. That was very nice. Understand we've had at least two canceled services here due to the weather. Obviously, it's felt in the congregation when we're not together. Someone said told me that they certainly felt the missing. Obviously, everybody, I'm not sure everybody saw, but Pastor Adrian was had the opportunity this week to be at the National Prayer Breakfast where President Trump was speaking. Yeah, he put a message on Slack. I don't. Everyone's asking how he got in. I have no idea how he got in. I don't know whether it's not through the church. At least I don't think so, because I wasn't aware till after the fact. So I think it was through his business or somehow he was able to get in to the prayer breakfast. He wrote a little bit of a write up on the Slack app, and I'm sure he's going to write something else up. I'm sure. But that was interesting, and I haven't spoken to him about it. So only I read what you read actually. So. He said the only thing other than he mentioned to me Wednesday that he had a dinner to go to that night. So it was the dinner preceding it. It was all the same thing, and it was pretty high security. So I'm looking forward to whatever other additional write-ups or discussions he has about it. So we've all been eagerly anticipating this discussion on vision. I know you've had the documentation here for a few weeks, and weather's kind of preceded. Kind of gotten in the way from the discussion. Just a bit of background to it. Today's going to be a bit of a different sermon style. It's going to be very interactive message. There'll be a bit of a message more sort of leading up to this. What Landon is doing is passing out a seventh item that when we did this in Burlington, I think all the churches are doing it. This is what we presented this to the board. So every year the ministry has to present a budget to the board, and the budget is based off of what we want to do as a church group here in Canada. In order to figure out what we want to do, we actually have to have a vision. What do we want to be? Where do we want to go? What things do we see out there that we need to gear up for, both internally and externally? And that's the document that you've been reading over the last number of weeks. I hope you've taken some time to read it. We did have a 2020 vision, a 2020 vision that we created 5 years ago. This is adapted, obviously, because we think back radically over the last 5 years, as you well know. And wanted to walk through this a little bit. And then what we'll do is we'll do some group activities to help determine some of the where we go and where we're at, but I wanted to provide some spiritual background as to it's not just a fun activity to replace a sermon. Obviously, we don't do these hardly ever from a sermon standpoint, but let's go to initially 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Passover is actually 2 months from today. April 8th is when we will gather to take the bread and the wine and begin the spring holy days. And as we turn there, I'll draw your attention to verse 27 says, therefore, this is in 1 Corinthians 11, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That obviously has we can go off in various ways with what it means to take the Passover in an unworthy manner. But Paul continues, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup based upon his self-examination. And that self-examination isn't always and necessarily a flogging of oneself. It's a true examination of where one is almost like it's like a recommitment every year that we recommit to our bond with Jesus Christ, our commitment to His way. We reflect back on our baptism, obviously, and a bit of a self-assessment as to what promises did I make God last year? Where did I want to be in a year's time? Promises did I make when I was baptized? Where did I grow? And part of any examination if you've ever been through, everyone's been through report cards. We've all been through school. Some of you have written report cards. Most, unless you're in business for yourself, have annual reviews. You've probably been through annual reviews. Even those who work for themselves have a bit of an annual review because you have to know what went well and what didn't go well and where you want to go. This amounts to part and parcel of what examining oneself is. Let's continue here. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, if we don't examine ourselves properly, if we don't take that time period seriously, we eat and drink judgment to ourselves, not discerning the Lord's body. And we've had sermons here on what it means to discern the Lord's body. It's not just the body of Jesus Christ, which is part and parcel. That's why we break the bread at Passover and eat the broken bread, but it's also understanding that we are Christ's body, the ecclesia, the church, and we are a part here in the congregation. We are part of that body of Christ, and it's discerning our part in the body and our relationships with each other and where our relationships are and where we have flaws in our relationships and where we need to strengthen our relationships, where we need to mend fences. This is all part of the discerning process. And we've got a couple of months to go before we gather on that most solemn evening to take the bread, to eat the broken bread that symbolizes Christ's body, and to drink the wine that represents His shed blood. That mentality, that whole discerning the body, is what goes into this vision and understanding where we as an organization, and when we get down to it, where we as a congregation are in our walk, our individual walk and our collective walk. And as we develop this, what's required of us every year through the ministries to present this budget to the board, we've stopped just simply presenting a budget to present money for money's concern. We want to put something behind this. Why are we actually doing these things? What do we want to accomplish? How can we be held accountable as an organization, as a congregation, and as a ministry for the being good stewards of the faithful tithes that God's people give to the organization? And how can we set up a system of accountability to where those who are entrusted with determining what happens with your faithfully given tithes that you do out of obedience and out of faith, what goes into that? So it's understanding who we are, what we want to do, and what we want to be. And so I'll draw your attention to, I think Jim used small paper today. That's 8.5 by 11. You're probably not used to seeing such small paper. I don't know if you need to get your glasses out or a magnifying glass. But the mission hasn't changed. It's the same mission that was written up 5 years ago. Because our mission, and the reason why it's the same, is our mission is the same. It comes right out of Scripture. And our mission is to preach the good news of the kingdom to all peoples. Because there's some financial responsibility here, we do so primarily within Canada. That's where we live. And we do it as a witness and a warning. So there's two parts to that. We must witness Jesus Christ. And not just Jesus Christ, but His message. And it's not necessarily to draw people into church. It is God does the calling. We know in John 6:44, no man can come to Christ unless the Father who sent Christ draws him. Our job is to witness and warn. So when we see things going on, like the coronavirus, like chaos going on around the world, we can point people to Scripture, that this is nothing that should be surprising to the people of God, and it shouldn't certainly get us unhinged. That's part one of our mission. Part two is those who God does call into the flock to nurture and prepare disciples to reign with Jesus Christ. That's the second mission of the church. The vision represents, so the mission is what we want to be, what we want to do. The vision is how we will get there. That can change, because 5 years ago, the world was a very different place than it is today. And next year, it could be far different. So in the ministry, this took probably 3 months of back and forth, several meetings, back and forth, rehashing, presenting to the board. The board approved it. The board read it and said, yeah, we like this. Let's get this out to our congregations. And as we work through this, part and parcel of what this will be helping to discern the Lord's, the Ottawa portion of the Lord's body. And what we need to do to arm ourselves against some of the external forces that work against God's people, the disciples of Christ, and potentially internal forces that could work against the body of Christ. And it's recognizing that those exist, that Satan has targets on all of our backs. He does not like that we are faithful to God, that we give up one day out of every seven to come together, that we faithfully are in connection with God on a daily basis. The vision says that in 5 years, we will have a reputation for being a healthy organization, and health comes in all sorts of terms. We'll get into that a little bit later, with a ministerial group that is respected and easy to approach due to our servant leadership culture. And culture is something that takes time to build, and we're continuing to try to build that approachability, that easy to work with ability, servant leadership, which is what the CGI ministry is one of the bases of that. We take that from Scripture as well. So our easy to approach, the quality of being easy to approach because of our servant leadership culture, and our ability to effectively proclaim, that's preach and teach. So we preach as a witness and a warning, and we teach the disciples of Christ the Word of God. So what characteristics form a healthy congregation? You'll recall we had care, courtesy, and consideration. And that we have the same scriptures there on the right side of that second slide that talk about care, courtesy, and consideration. We've added two, and interestingly enough, they were integrity and courage. Courage has been added because this world today is different than it was 5 years ago. The need to stand up for Christ, and the many that reject Christ and make it difficult or challenging to stand up for Christ requires courage. Paul, you recall, talks about the boldness to stand for Christ. The other quality or core value that we added was integrity. Integrity is something that should distinguish the disciples of Christ. That we say what we mean. That we are who we say we are. Our word is our bond. And I think it was Pastor Ken Allen came up with the I4C. Memory aid. I4C. So integrity, courage, care, courtesy, and consideration. We're going to look at integrity and courage, the two new ones here. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We'll just read a couple of these verses here. Romans chapter 12. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. It's worth it going, continuing down to verse 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. That's a big laundry list of items that could help us on an individual basis and perhaps and collectively discern the Lord's body, help us understand how we as individuals discern each other. But the integrity part, the opposite of integrity is hypocrisy. If what you see from me isn't exactly what you're going to get, then the flip side is hypocrisy, and hypocrisy is of the adversary. We need to be able to trust each other. We need to be able to, as a congregation, as the body of Christ, if we can't trust each other now, there will be, as things get tougher, as it gets harder and harder to stand up for Christ, it will be more difficult then. But let our love for each other, let the agape love that we are trying to build for each other, be without hypocrisy, be without two-facedness. When I turn my back and I'm not here, or if I go back, you should have full faith that I'm not going to talk badly about you back in Burlington or to anyone else. Or if you happen to not be here one day, that we're not talking about you over in a corner, or anything like that. We'll go back to Joshua 24. We'll just read why we put these. And as we work through this exercise, it must be from the Scriptures, which is why each point here has Scripture assigned to it. And it's really just helping us to boil down as a group where we need to be and where we need to go. In Joshua 24, verse 14, again, this is as Joshua is coming to the end of his life. Now therefore, verse 14, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. That's a direct link to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You recall, let us eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, Paul writes in his epistles. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. Serve the one true God. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Don't be hypocritical. What Joshua is telling the people of Israel here is, either serve God or back out and serve whoever you want to serve. But don't serve yourself while pretending to serve God. We can't serve God and mammon. And it's amazing how much of the Torah and the writings and the Psalms and the prophets are all linked to the apostolic writings and the Gospels. Courage is another trait that we've added. And again, for the reasons that I've already said, let's go to Proverbs 28 and read that scripture. This was the one that was selected to talk about courage. And part of understanding our place in the body is it's much easier for us to practice courage together. When we are by ourselves, as individuals, that can be a bigger test. It's not everyone passes that test, unfortunately. So we, as part of building that family bond in the congregations, it allows us to get better at some of these characteristics that we must put on, because it's much easier when you've got somebody on your back looking the other way that you can completely trust. Verse 1 here says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are like King David. who couldn't believe that all of these warriors in the army of Israel wouldn't stand up to Goliath. So he took 5 stones. The righteous boldness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not, under pain of burning, turn their back or say anything negative about their God. These qualities, as the world changes, are what God's people need to continue to develop, and we need to get better at. So as we, again, focus on being a witness and a warning to the world and developing the nature of Jesus Christ inside, these are the core values of integrity, courage, care, consideration, and courtesy that will help us do that. Just moving through here quickly, just so we get a feeling for this process and why we're doing this. Ephesians chapter 4. This is all continuing about building the body of Jesus Christ. I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you, plead with you, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We talk about what it means to take the Passover in a worthy manner. This all sort of interlinks here with realizing where we are in our journeys, individually and collectively, so that we walk appropriately as God would expect us to walk in our journey, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That bearing, that forbearing, means to put up with each other. That's a quality that we as individuals help us in our family setting. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So again, part of the objectives that we have presented as a ministry is to help nurture God's people, and we do that together. The second is to recall and remember that we are to witness and warn the truth of God. Part of that is that there is a salvation through Jesus Christ, but not everybody will buy into that. But everybody must hear the warning. Everybody must hear the warning. And then whoever God is working with and plants the seeds that is called can answer that call. In Matthew 24, we cover Matthew 24 quite a bit in our messages, and always have. We're just continuing to understand it in a more deep fashion. Some, rightly so, quote this scripture as part of the mission of the church, of God's people. It's also a prophecy. It's also a prophecy. The way Christ here words this, he words it in a prophetic fashion. And this gospel of the kingdom, this good news that God keeps his promises, that what he has always promised back from Abraham, that he will see to it that it is fulfilled. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. So that does not say that everyone will buy into it and answer the calling, but it is to be a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And as we consider the dangers to the body of Christ, as we brainstormed the dangers to the body of Christ, there are obviously external forces, and we talk about those all the time, that the changing politics that affect us, the things that affect us now, and there's a lot of long-time warriors in this room that when you were first called, this would have been fiction. You wouldn't even have fathomed that some of these things that we have to endure we would have to endure. That scripture that talks about the right being wrong and wrong being right. We quoted that and probably didn't understand what that meant. We probably thought we understood. We're now seeing it come alive. That things that are right are, you can't stand up for what is right anymore. Christianity, the name of Christ, is being condemned. Heterosexualness is now bigotry. Transgender is. I saw some ads for Sesame Street. That is all rainbow colors and a man in a big dress, and that's on. When Sesame Street goes there, we're done. We are done. And of course, as we try to sort of encapsulate these external forces, we see politics, we see the redefining of what good and evil is, and evil is now folks that stand up for babies to come to full term are anti-women. If you can somehow figure that out, I have not been able to figure that out. I'm glad I can't figure that out. And of course, the myriad of social unrest that is out there. Internally, the challenges, and when we read some of these scriptures like Ephesians 4 and where we just read, Satan hates us. Satan hates the children of God. And as it gets further and further along, one of the hurdles that the church needs to, that God's people need to be wary of, is division. Is division within the church. That's one challenge that has been raised. That the spirit of unity and the bond of peace is why Paul admonishes us to work hard at that, to work hard at developing the unity in the body, to grow the spirit and do so in a peaceful attitude. Disrespect, some of these changes in the world, if we don't have our armor on and we're not attuned to it, can creep unknowingly into congregations through the membership. When we are not attuned to how our interaction with each other, that we need to monitor that. And of course, weakness. We've identified weakness as a challenge too, because this is a long, long, long journey. I'm looking at faces that have been at this again for many, many, many years. It can get tiring. It can get overwhelming. Some days it's only the spirit within us that keeps us going. Together, as these challenges become bigger on our own, when we don't discern the Lord's body, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11, and see that together we can withstand these challenges and we can grow strong as the body of Christ. And we, part of the vision of the congregations and what we're going to work on here, is understanding where we sit in what we call these critical success factors, these factors that will help us overcome these internal and external challenges. Not just overcome them, but almost act as an antidote and strengthen our spiritual immune system, so that when we are presented with people who may be disrespectful among us, or redefining what is good and evil hits closer to home, that these spiritual health principles will have strengthened us to the point where we can withstand some of these items. I'd like to go to Acts 2 before we get into the activities that we were going to do together today to help discern the Lord's body, the Ottawa portion here of the Lord's body. And we'll see that this healthy, this congregation, this new new folks that came into the faith at the Pentecost after Christ's resurrection exhibit some of these healthy factors that we aim to work on. Verse 40 of Acts 2, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, pled with them, encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. They had an opportunity answering their calling for salvation in a generation that was utterly perverse. All you have to do is read a paper, turn on the TV, open up an app on your phone, a news app, look outside, and we are also in a completely perverse generation. Then verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to the body of Christ. Let's see what they did. They continued steadfastly, not haphazardly, not just mailing it in. We all have days where we mail it in, or maybe just I do. Here, they were steadfast. It was heartfelt continuation in the apostles' doctrine. So this is truth. So truth is always at the basis of all that we do. And truth comes from the Word of God and fellowship. And it's interesting, the continuing in fellowship, that the Greek word for fellowship, the root word, actually refers to partnership. So when we consider fellowship, we use the fellowship often in terms of getting together and chatting and just, you know, getting to know each other a little bit. It's a spiritual word that we use in the body of Christ that oftentimes is really no different than getting together with your family, getting together maybe at a work function. We just, when it's in the presence of church members, we call that interaction fellowship. The Greek word actually means partnership. And when we discern the Lord's body, which we're preparing to do, not just for this activity, but preparing for Passover, we are partners in this race. We are connected to each other through the Spirit of God and through our commitment to Jesus Christ. Seeing ourselves as partners in this race goes a long way into building the health that the congregations of God need to withstand what is coming, to withstand the external and internal forces of the adversary who is, as they say, hell-bent on ensuring that you're not there to rise out of the ground and meet Christ when he returns. That's his mission. His mission is to make sure you're not there. In partnership, the root word of that word fellowship means, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And we come together in prayer. We often break bread. This here is just a way to bring us together. And we see that throughout Scripture, how often the use of food brings God's people together. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. And again, this doesn't mean we go sell our stuff and give it away. What it means is when we see ourselves as partners as a congregant, on the same team, when somebody hurts, we hurt. When somebody has a need, we'll do what we need to do to fill that need. And we do such a good job at that, we need to continue to strengthen those bonds, because the adversary is there waiting for a slip up, waiting for a wedge, waiting for a crack in our congregational armor to just get in so that he can derail us somehow. And we don't even know what's coming. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, of one mind, steadfastly continuing, and breaking bread from house to house. Again, this partnership that this partnership isn't for 2 or 3 hours every 7 days. We're partners in this race together. When that finish line comes for each of us, I want to see you all there, and I hope you want to see me there too. It would be sad for us not to see each other there. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And this health that was part of this initial group of people, God was able to add to the church on a daily basis. We're looking for God to add to the congregation. That's up to Him and whoever answers that calling. What we do is we get healthy so that when someone comes in, they walk in and they realize, wow, I need to be here. This edifies me. And we've grown here. I'm looking around. When I first was here, Jim, it was kind of us way back. So as God has added the health of the congregation is evident here. We're not saying that we're not healthy. We need to pay attention so that we remain healthy and get even healthier. That's part of what discerning the Lord's body is, and examining ourselves before Passover is such that we can't rest on our laurels and say, you know what, I've had a great year, I'm going to mail this in. No, you know what, let's admit when we have a great year. Maybe we improved in a certain way and we've made some great improvements, praise be to God. Let's now do that again. And let's understand where we can be better. So how we did this, trial and error a little bit in Burlington, is these critical success factors, which is what you find at the back of your papers. I'll just take some time to explain. This gap rating. This is the self-assessment we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we examine ourselves collectively. And when we're going to grade ourselves today, we're going to do a little bit of a, and today's strictly step one. We'll get as far as we can get, and then over time, we're just going to continue to revisit this a little bit. Maybe not necessarily during sermon time, but maybe after, during the sermon discussion, every couple of weeks or so, and we'll pick out a couple of things as we get through this and work on those and better those. And this will just be something for us as partners, as we discuss that word fellowship in Acts 2, verse 41, as partners in this faith that we work on together. So the critical success factors really were established to say, we understand all of these dangers, external and internal, that could act as hurdles or trip us up or derail the church of God. There's personal health. We need to be healthy in order to continue on this journey. So this is the individual. We also need to have healthy congregations. What does that mean? Well, there are some ideas as to what that means. Staying relevant. If we are to witness properly and warn the world properly and be there for people who are in need when they realize I'm being called of God and this world is all of a sudden starting not to make any sense, we need to be relevant. We need to understand what it means. What are the issues affecting the world that we can be there to help them out? And the issues today are different 20, 30, 40 years ago. We are nothing without our Bibles, the Word of God. This is the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation of all knowledge. Our biblical fluency is a sign of our spiritual health. Where are we good? Where can we be better? Leading by example, we see here, this is part of the trust, where not just trust, but understanding that we're all individually gifted through God's Holy Spirit to contribute to the body, and how we personally lead when we are on our own, when we're here together, how we interact with each other, how we interact congregationally, how we interact with the ministry, how we interact as a congregation. Communication is a skill set that we must all be working at. It's as more and more we are tied, and I can't say everybody. This is generally an older crowd, and maybe you're not as tied to phones as other folks are, as other people are. The younger crowd. This may be a strength in an older crowd. We need, as we develop younger people in the congregation and can pass that baton on, we need to not just strengthen ourselves, but we need to be able to strengthen the next generation. And, of course, our spiritual well-being is also a sign of how healthy we are as a congregation.